My wife and I are in a mutual agreement that there's enough people that will discourage us just in the normal run-of-the-mill of everyday life. So we're committed to encouraging. We're committed to building up one another.
Today from Chuck Swindoll.
As a matter of fact, if we don't have harmony in our home, Peter tells me the truth, your prayers will be hindered. We are committed to a positive, optimistic, encouraging role to one another because I believe that's biblical.
Life presents enough pressures of its own. Even strong marriages feel the unwieldy forces of an unsympathetic culture attempting to dismantle their bond. And if we fail to prepare, if we fail to feed and nourish a marriage, it's not long before cracks begin appearing in the foundation of a home. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue the classic series, Strike the Original Match. We'll cite intentional safeguards to ensure that outside influences have absolutely no advantage in undermining an otherwise good marriage. Today's message begins with helpful review from the last program, as Chuck Swindoll describes bricks that build a marriage.
First Peter chapter 3 devotes 6 verses to the wife, the 7th verse to the husband, and then the 8th and 9th verses I have taken as the mortar to make the bricks secure. Let's go into them, and I want to point out in this brief time we have left, 4 bricks for the wife, 3 for the husband. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. The first brick in your home, ladies, is the brick of action, or, if you please, behavior. It's mentioned twice. Now the woman reads it and says to herself, sure, I'll be glad to live like that as long as I have the right kind of husband. But the verses are written to the woman that has the wrong kind of husband. Here is the husband who is disobedient to the word. Doesn't tell us whether he is saved or lost. It simply says his life cuts cross grain against the teachings of the scriptures. And yet it says that her technique in winning that husband will be in her behavior. Her actions, which you know so well, speak louder than words. Now, after this word on action, let's move to the matter of adornment, shall we? This is where the fun is. Verse 3. Let not your adornment be external only. Now, Peter's emphasis has to do with, don't go overboard patching up the externals because your internals are so pitiful and lacking. Don't put all the emphasis on the outside because the real emphasis ought to be on the inside. But he does say, let it not be only on the outside, meaning there ought to be something on the outside worth looking at, right? Now, adornment is important. It is no less important than action, nor no more. Now let's go to the third. Verse 4, attitude. You knew we'd get around to it, didn't you? Attitude. But now the passage is really developing the emphasis. Not only on the outer, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's attitude. The imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. It's not trying to make everybody the same temperament. God's a realist. He gave you the personality you've got. It's not the husband's job to try to change your personality. It's your job, under the Holy Spirit's control, to keep that personality in control. That's all. He says, as a matter of fact, the gentle and quiet spirit will be imperishable. What does God think of it? God says it's precious. The only time I ever find Jesus Christ describing himself, he does so in Matthew 11, where he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am," what? "Meek and lowly in heart." That's Jesus Christ. He had a tranquil, meek ministry that changed men from the inside. All right, there is action, there is adornment, there is the attitude, and now verses 5 and 6, attention. Let me show you where I get that. "In this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear." Let me just clear up what the last part of the verse means. It has in mind, don't be afraid that things are going to get out of hand if you don't control them any longer. Let God control them. Look at the word obey. Sarah obeyed Abraham. The word in the Greek means to pay close attention to something, to attend to the needs of someone. That's the word. Now I say to you before God that this verse, "Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord," is one of the finest examples of the godly woman today when it is in action. She pays close attention to the needs of her husband. Now, husbands, there are three bricks for your home if it's to be restored. They're all in verse 7. "You husbands, likewise, live with your wives." The first brick is live with your wife. The normal reaction is, well, I do. We stay at the same address. We use the same rooms. We eat the same meals. We have the same bed. We enjoy basically the same schedule. We live together, but that's not the word. The original term suggests the idea of being closely aligned together, is the thought. And husbands, it is your task to maintain what I would call domestic togetherness or harmony. When I first saw this truth, it was a number of years ago, and I wondered how God would lead me to maintain it, because I wanted to maintain it. And I looked at my whole life. I looked at my schedule through the day, and I realized that I was just too busy through the day to be able to take off and develop that kind of relationship. In the evening, the pressures of the day and all the involvements and often the activities forced me to say no to the evening hours, and I was left with one area time-wise, and that was the morning. Since I saw that, except for times of special occasion, or of course when we're away from each other or sickness, we spend, Cynthia and I do, every morning together. We set the alarm early, sometime as much as 45 minutes to an hour earlier than when the children are up. And we have together a time that is interrupted by nothing. Sometime it is as brief as 20 minutes, sometime it goes as long as an hour or more. Over a cup of coffee together, or two. We sit and we talk about our day. We talk about the hurts and the pressures and the pain of our lives, if they happen to be on the surface. We discuss the children, if that happens to be the subject at hand. Occasionally we will have prayer, or we will have some time in the Word occasionally, but that is not something that is always true. But we are always linking our lives together. We are starting the day on the same foot. Sure, it's hard to maintain it. It's especially hard having gone to bed late at night to maintain it. But it's a priority that we feel is too great to diminish. What is your time with your mate? If I were to ask you to fill out the half of this sheet on the needs of your wife at this present moment, men, could you write one sentence? You know, I could fill a page and a half right now, because I'm right on the cutting edge of my wife's life. Right now, I know exactly where her heart is. It's to the place where I can Touch base with her in a matter of minutes, and I can tell the pulse of the situation. Are you that sensitive, men? You say, oh, that just comes natural with you, Chuck. I got news for you. Very little of what I'm telling you comes natural with me. I've learned it. And I am learning it more. Because I see before God as a man in my home, as a good manager of time and of leadership, I am to pay that kind of price. Or I won't have the kind of home God directs me to have in Scripture. That means during those times I listen as well as talk. It means during those times I don't fill up the whole time with words. We sometimes are just quietly together. I want to live with her because I want to know my wife. That's the second brick, to know your wife. You notice it says in an understanding way. That word suggests the idea of being in depth in an understanding of her. Listen to what she's saying. Be sensitive to the involvements and the cares and concerns. Consider the pressures of what she lives under, men, for a while. And wives, during that time, give yourself thought to the pressures he is living under. It's always an amazement to me how so many wives aren't really plugged into what their husbands are even doing during the day, pressure and work-wise. I'm not saying you're to be as keen a student of his work or you men of her work, but to be aware of them. You know, I can pick up the phone and call my home and she can answer, and I can tell you from a word or two the mood she's in. You do that? I've made it a study to know my wife. That's what Peter is saying in an understanding way, since she's a woman. There's a mystique about her, men, that is not true of you. And to get to know her, her needs, what will it take to fulfill her life? A man doesn't want a vanilla shadow to share his life with. He doesn't want an echo. He doesn't want a doormat. No thinking man wants that kind of a woman. He wants one that's on the cutting edge of thought and right with him, in step. At times even challenging those thoughts. To me, that is a healthy relationship. And then finally he says, honor your wife. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And that's deeper than good manners, but it includes that. We open the door for them on the way to the honeymoon, and that's the last time. You know, not that opening the door is that great a thing, but husbands look at their wives sometimes like, what's the matter, your arm broken? Get out! Valentine's night came and left. Did your wife know it? Make any difference? What'd you do Valentine's night? Wives? Well, we ate supper. Yeah, well, you do that every other night. What difference was there? Was there any show, any special word, any encouragement, any honor? The very same word translated honor is translated precious as it describes the blood of Christ in 1 Peter 1:19. The precious blood of Christ. God looks at the wife and he sees her as precious to the husband. Does she know you see her that way? When is the last time you told her of the way you view her? See, my wife and I are in a mutual agreement that there's enough people that will discourage us just in the normal run-of-the-mill of everyday life. So we're committed to encouraging. We're committed to building up one another, not being blinded to needs, not even being unaware of the things that the other ought to know and sharing it with them in the right way. But basically, we are positive toward the other, not negative. We are committed to a positive, optimistic, encouraging role to one another. Because I believe that's biblical. As a matter of fact, if we don't have harmony in our home, Peter tells me the truth, your prayers will be hindered. Could that be the reason you can't have insight in your business, men? Is that the reason that you cannot find fulfillment and understanding of your children or your role? Could it be that marital disharmony has caused your prayers to be so cut in on that God is not yet involved in responding till that home base is taken care of? Look at the mortar. It's so good. Verse 8. To sum up, husbands, wives, children, whoever, live with your wives. Let it be harmonious, men, women. Let it be sympathetic. Let it be affectionate. The word is Philadelphia. Let it be affectionate, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. And look at the reactionary part. Not returning evil for evil, argument for argument, insult for insult, but giving a blessing. There's that positive side. How many does it take to make an argument? Well, for some people, only one. They've got their own problems, okay? But I'll guarantee you, in most cases, when you close your mouth, there won't be an argument. And it's a remarkable thing how when that argument syndrome stops, how harmony begins. It's remarkable. Those are the bricks. This is the mortar. The brick of action, adornment, attitude, and attention. The bricks, men, of living with your wife so that you come to know her and give her honor. Helping her reach that sense of fulfillment in life. Held together by the harmony and sympathy and affection that only a godly home can provide. There's a little tiny village, a little mining hamlet in Upper St. Clair, Pennsylvania, not too many miles north of Pittsburgh. It was so proud of itself back in 1958, it built a small red brick building which was to be multipurpose. It's to serve as a police department and fire station and city hall and all those small little things that had not been a part of the township. And so they were proud of it when the ribbon cutting ceremony came. But you know, in a matter of months, ominous cracks began to appear in the mortar and brick. Before long, they couldn't get the windows closed all the way, and that freezing air from the sub-freezing temperature outside began to come in, and the doors wouldn't close. And you know, before long, they had to condemn that building to the dismay of the taxpayer and to the shame of the contractor. So they put an investigating team on the job. Why did it fail? They found that there was nothing wrong with the bricks, with the workmanship, with the doors or windows. But a few miles away, mining had continued with the blasting down beneath the surface. There had moved across that unique strata beneath this building shifts and changes until finally that building, without a foundation that was sure, shifted and cracked and creaked. And finally was condemned. I see that this very morning as we think about the home. Your bricks may be exactly as Peter describes them. And if they are, you're a unique person. But if there is no foundation, I want to assure you that unless the Lord is building your house, it's a vain, empty labor. May we bow together, please. Quietly now before our Father. There's just so much you can know about the home. As I want to emphasize tonight, our problem is not knowing enough. Problem is not doing enough. That's it. Now, wives, you've got a choice today. You've got to make up your mind as to the kind of woman you're going to be in your home. And I can assure you, if it won't fit the biblical picture, if it's a life of selfishness and personal achievement, maintaining of your own rights, your own way, your own time, you're in for some headaches. Husbands, if it has to do with maintaining those old habits that cut cross with what Peter and Paul have suggested today, this worship service really would have been of no use to you at all unless there come some changes. Now listen to God. Some of you preparing for marriage, and those years of preparation in which university work and your own occupation, your home situation is tooling you for life with another, perhaps. Listen to what God is saying.
you've never met the Savior today, I want to say to you, He's available to you. Right now, He says to you, other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. By a quiet and personal expression of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, He will come into your life. Would you let Him do that right now? Maybe this calls for a council this afternoon or some discussion time. The most important part of a message is the time that follows. Father, I do pray this morning that You will touch lives that will be hearing this word from Your word, so that we would not build ourselves a wall thinking that it has not touched our lives, but that we will see ourselves open without a secret before You and well on our way, at least with a desire to build the bricks that build a marriage. And Father, may the addition of this new information, or perhaps the reaffirmation of this old truth, have a way of sticking. May we sense, Father, the importance of the home as more significant than we've ever seen it before. I ask this in the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Looking for wise counsel that ensures a strong biblical foundation for your relationship? You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Bricks That Build a Marriage. This sermon originates with the series Strike the Original Match. This collection of 14 CDs has been designated by Insight for Living as a classic series. And that means all the CDs are digitally remastered, packaged in a sturdy slipcover case, and the series includes a bonus interview with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll. Before a live audience, they share candid insights on marriage and some of the lessons they've learned about keeping their marriage strong for more than 50 years. And that's not all. The series comes packaged with a brand new Bible Companion workbook as well. So give us a call for the series Strike the Original Match at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Chuck?
All of us live in a dispensable age, don't we? Nothing's really intended to last very long. Like a light bulb, when it grows dim or flickers out, you just spin it out of the socket, find a new one, and screw it in. Well, what's true for light bulbs does not work for relationships, for partnerships, for marriage. A marriage that endures requires two people fully committed long-term to each other. It takes the C word. You've heard me use the C word over and over again in this series because it's a biblical virtue. Stands for commitment. You see, commitment forms the foundation upon which a healthy marriage rests. And let me add, if you're among those who financially sustain Insight for Living, please know this. We remain profoundly grateful to you. But maybe you're hearing my words today, feeling that little check in your spirit. You've been a loyal listener, but you've been a silent supporter. Today is the day we need to hear from you. Whether you decide to become a monthly companion or just give a one-time donation, believe me, we'll be grateful. A good partnership like this takes two. It takes the C word. As we remain committed to providing these daily programs, we urge you to respond in kind. Thanks so much for your commitment.
And here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll's request. Become a monthly companion right now by calling 1-800-772-8888. You can also become a monthly companion online at insight.org/monthly companion. A monthly companion agrees to give an automated donation every month. It's simple. It doesn't take long to sign up. But the impact has eternal implications. So call us at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll delivers a warning for your marriage. Watch out for cheap substitutes on the next Insight for Living.